Welcome to episode 399 of the Fantastic Forecast. I'm David Elliott, and I was paid $80 million by the government to come up with good torture techniques. That's how this podcast was born. Today, Fantastic Four, 399 from April 1995. Watchers Scheme by Tom DeFalco and Paul Ryan. So he's back. Aaron, the evil watcher. He's insane. He's happy. And he's ready to kill Sue Richards and Johnny Storm. And the Ant-Man. And Kristoff. Now, I'd be happy too if I had the chance to kill Kristoff. So they're on the moon, and at the home of Uatu the Watcher, who isn't home right now. We learn that during the past year or so, Aaron has been masquerading as Uatu, showing up and leading the FF on a wild goose chase, hoping to distract Uatu the Watcher. He explains that he was finally about to be punished by the other Watchers for repeatedly meddling in Earth's affairs when they were all summoned away to help defend some dude named The One. I'm not sure who The One is. Maybe it's Bill Clinton and he hired the Watchers to be his legal team. Probably not. So Sue's decided that she's heard enough. She shouts at everyone to hit Aaron with everything they got. So Sue attacks him with a pointy force field. Johnny shoots flames at him. Kristoff fires a gun, and Ant-Man attacks him with his strength, the strength of a normal man. Aaron recoils in pain. It was the gun that Kristoff was using, a molecular disruptor designed by Dr. Doom. That thing will ruin your day, for real. But Aaron survives. He gets up, he fires these I-beams at Sue, and seemingly vaporizes her, or teleports her away, teleported most likely, back on the surface of the moon. In a completely unnecessary subplot, Ben, who was sent a mile or so away by Aaron, is now facing off against a group of Inhumans, who for some reason, at this point in the mid-90s, the FF have been banned from the moon by the Inhumans? I don't know why. The FF came to visit the Watcher, not the Inhumans anyway. What a bunch of lousy neighbors they are. So for a couple of pages, Ben fights against some of the freakiest Inhumans ever. And regarding the constantly changing facial scarring of the thing here, the entire right side of his head is pink and discolored from the scarring. It changes every issue, from panel to panel. It's very distracting. Back on the FF's ship, the Stealth Hawk, Kristoff's old man assistant Boris is watching Ben fight the Inhumans, and when Ben finds himself in a tough spot, Boris thinks to himself, he must not die. Not yet. I'm not sure why Boris is even paying attention to Ben and not to his boss Kristoff, who could also use some help. Back inside, with Sue gone, guess who takes charge? If he guessed Ant-Man, guess again. Kristoff starts giving out orders, telling Johnny to distract Aaron. Ant-Man asks Kristoff what he wants him to do, and Kristoff replies, "You do what you do best, Lang. Reduce yourself to the size of an ant and try to keep out from underfoot." Ouch. Kristoff doesn't have much respect for Ant-Man either. Next, we find out where Sue is. Where did Aaron send her? Well, she wakes up on an asteroid in the negative zone. Now that will ruin your day. And her asteroid is descending down to an antimatter planet below where it will touch it and explode. But she's not alone. A long stretchy arm reaches over and taps her on the shoulder. But is it her read or the read of another reality? He tells her that he loves her and he never wants to be apart again. She's crying and happy to see him, but then she turns into a bitch. She yells out, "No!" and pushes him off the asteroid. Back on the moon, Johnny's keeping Aaron distracted with a bunch of flaming human torch duplicates, while in another room, Kristoff has found some weird gizmo that he's messing with, and he's making adjustments to it. Ant-Man is spying on him, and someone else says, "Move away from the storage battery, young man." Aaron the Watcher has entered the room, and he tries to shoot Kristoff, but then suddenly, Aaron starts to shrink, getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. Kristoff realizes that it's the Ant-Man at work. But Aaron isn't the only one who's got exposed. Kristoff starts to shrink too. Once he's down to a little size, he sees Ant-Man and tells him, "I could have defeated him without such needless theatrics." Ant-Man says he can tell him all about it later, after they get to safety. back in the negative zone. Reed is begging Sue to drop her force field, to trust him. He can help. He's got that hyper harness. He can carry them both to safety. Sue replies,
You aren't my Reed.
So Sue can tell this Reed is the Reed who's gone crazy, because on his world, everyone was killed by Galactus because he screwed up. He's like, hey, baby, you lost your Reed. I lost my Sue. We ought to help each other out. But Sue wants no part of this relationship. But really, I think his logic is pretty sound. I'm not sure why she's putting up such a fight. Maybe she remembers that the last time she took a rubber salami in the old negative zone, it didn't turn out too well. He forms a big rubber ball around her force field and says they could go back to his world and be like a modern-day Adam and Eve. Yeah, they could have children, and their children could all have sex with each other and repopulate the world. Actually, that's kind of gross. She continues to push him away with her force fields, but she's starting to sweat. The strain of creating all these force fields is getting to her. Back on the moon, it's clobberin' time. Seems like the first time in a long time Ben has said that. As he rips up the ground under the Inhumans, which pushes them all away. They regroup, and they plan to attack again. But guess who comes to the rescue? Boris! Flying in the FF's flying bathtub, the old Fantastic Car. He's got this remote control, and he tells the Inhumans that if they don't leave Ben alone, he's going to fire a missile right at the heart of Attilan. And just so they know he's serious, he mentions that he used to work for Dr. Doom. Such a name dropper, that guy. So the group of Inhumans decide to leave, and they say, you haven't seen the last of the Crimson Cadre, humans. So they go away, and that's the last we see of the Crimson Cadre. Boris tells Ben to hop aboard, and Ben says, that was a nice bluff. And Boris replies, bluff? Back in the Watcher's house, Aaron returns to his normal size, and he goes over to the power battery to recharge his cosmic power. In brightest day and darkest night, please let no hair on my head escape my razor's sight. But when he touches the power battery, he gets a powerful shock, and it knocks him out cold. Ant-Man says, way to go, old Christy old kid. Kristoff is proud of his work, jury-rigging the power battery, but he does not like to be called Christy. Aaron gets up again, realizes that without his cosmic power, he's in trouble. So he says, instead of obliterating you now, I will allow you to perish in the coming cataclysm with the rest of your insignificant race. And he teleports away. Ant-Man is wondering what exactly that cataclysm is. Aaron was probably just talking... He was probably just talking about Y2K. But Johnny and Christy, they get busy trying to find Sue. Back in the negative zone, Sue tries to hide from evil Reed by turning herself invisible, but he's stretching his arms all over the place, and it's hard for her to hide. So she creates a force field that rips into Reed's jetpack, leaving him unable to maneuver around. Without that harness, he can't escape from the danger zone. Sue asks Reed about this so-called end of the universe she's been hearing so much about, and Reed says, it's the Big Crunch, a reversal of the Big Bang, where the entire universe collapses back in on itself. Sue asks how the Watchers are involved in all this. He says the Watchers have their own agenda, and that Aaron the Watcher has agreed to spare Reed and Sue because he helped him modify the ultimate nullifier. And then, Reed slips off the rock, he starts to fall toward the antimatter planet, he can't reach back up to the rock in time, and Sue can't create a strong enough force field to save him. And guess what? Bam! He hits the antimatter planet, and he explodes. Game over. Back on the moon, they've located Sue Richards, and they pull up a video of the negative zone, where they can see Sue sitting on that rock, about to hit the antimatter planet too. Kristoff says they have no way to teleport her away from danger, and that's it. She's kind of screwed. So the issue ends with Sue sitting alone on that rock, slowly drifting toward the antimatter planet, and a very unpleasant demise. And that is the end of the issue. To be continued next time. Not to be continued next time. To be continued in Fantastic Force number 7. Hi, welcome to episode 399, part 2 of the Fantastic Forecast. Today, Fantastic Force number 7 from May 1995. The Mask of Doom. Written by Tom Brevoort and Mike Kantorovich. Oh, they're very good. And art by Dante Bastianini. So you want to know what Huntara and adult Franklin Richards have been up to? What? What do you mean you don't? Well, I'll tell you anyway. They've been in the Fantastic Force comic book. And in Fantastic Force number 7, Franklin and Huntara find out that the Fantastic Four are up on the moon and dealing with Aaron, the Evil Watcher, and that Sue Richards is about to perish in the Negative Zone. So Huntara teleports to the Negative Zone. She rescues Sue just in time, and that is the story of Fantastic Force number 7. Boy, I kept that short. And that's it. That's it for Fantastic Forecast 399. Coming up tomorrow, the second annual Christmas special. And then I'm off for Christmas vacation, and I'll be back after the new year with our big 400th episode. I'll see you then. Before I go, I'll let you know that you can download other episodes of this podcast at iTunes, or find them all at www.podcastff.podbean.com. I have a blog where you can see my favorite panels at www.podcastff.blogspot.com. And if you have any questions about the Fantastic Four, about this podcast, or if you need relationship advice, you can email me at podcastff@gmail.com. So long, kids. This podcast is over. Speak to me in a language I can hear. He will be before I have to go. Deep in thought, I forgive everyone. As the credits drew, it's greet me once again.